This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, baby, it's Thursday morning. It's it's chills, but it's not the end of the world. We'll manage. We're good. We're ready. We're roaring to go. Rearing to go. Roaring to go. Where is it? Rearing to go. Raring to go.
Yeah, I was going to confirm with you.
Sorry.
I'm not sure.
How are you feeling, Sia? You were sick yesterday.
Woo-wee.
What did you have? It was exciting. People love to know. Was it swine flu?
As a friend of mine said, she said, well, you have symptoms of being about 6 weeks pregnant.
Oh, is that what you had? And is there something you want to tell us? Is there good news?
Lord, see,
the Lord works in miracles.
That kind of illness lasts for about 18 years.
The Lord works in amazing ways, folks.
Let Pumi tell you about what happens if you have the pregnancy symptoms. You're in big trouble, my friend.
First there was Mary, then there was Sia. No, I'm joking.
Big trouble.
Yeah.
I don't know what I ate, but I'm just oddly feeling nauseous. And I can already tell that my body isn't where it should be as well. I still feel a little icky.
Yep, sounds about pregnant.
It's either pregnant or it's just what everyone else in winter feels a little bit like, you know? It's weird. Like, I hate winter, but actually having just spent a few days in like the English summer, which we did last year, see, mm-hmm. I remember. You kind
exactly
of, you get back
ago.
And you're like, well, it's not so bad.
Today's
yeah,
not
winter
bad
here.
At all, guys.
Mm.
No, I mean, compared to, like, I would love it if we had snow. Somehow, I just reckon that would make things a little prettier, more interesting. It would
until
give our,
it starts getting all slushy.
No, I know, but it would wouldn't it make our winter just a little bit classier? Like, I hate this dry, high felt winter. You know what I mean, right? This dry, dusty. It does nothing for me, and you know,
a little romantic as well.
Mm. Yeah, look, snow, hey, and I think it's probably because we are over here and we don't get it as much as we'd love, and we see it in the movies and all those things.
I know.
So it is very like romantic for us.
And isn't a kid who doesn't find snow fascinating?
Yeah,
but up until you slip in it, or then you have to now clear it away from your pathways, your driveway at home, and it's just iced everywhere. Yeah, then it doesn't become
that's
all
not
cute
so much fun.
Romantic.
Yeah. Plus, but, you know, we've got pothole problems. Imagine if we relied on government to put salt on the roads to clear the snow.
Oh.
I don't know that we would be. I don't know if we'd be okay.
So Tiffindale has lots of snow.
Have you been there?
I have not, but I've been thinking a lot about it because, again, children, right? I was, almost in my mid-30s when I first saw, like, proper snow, lots of, and this was in Moscow, which was also, like.
Oh, wow. That must have looked amazing.
It really was. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it, and I've been thinking about, maybe I should take Kanego because, like, you know, I'd love to see
his reaction to it. Yeah.
Right?
Oh, man. I was talking to Rich Mulholland yesterday about snow, and he said he was in Afriski in Lesotho.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And he said, actually, it was fantastic. He wasn't expecting much. Now, I've heard varying reports, but I trust Rich a lot more than I trust most other people's reports. He said, It is a great place for kids to learn how to snowboard or ski or whatever, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have to cost you the thousands of rands that it'll cost you, the thousands of euros it'll cost you to go and do this in the Alps.
Yeah.
And you can learn there, and then, you know, the next time they're ready, they'll hit the slopes there, and you will actually be able to use the Alps. You won't just be on the bunny slopes, you know, mm-hmm. those little safe areas for kids. So maybe that's something you could do first, and mm-hmm. now is probably the right time.
Yeah, they had some good snow.
Yeah.
So a week and a half ago, I think.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what to do, Pumelele, but, you know.
But he's going to give his own parenting advice.
Yeah, maybe now's a good time.
I'm telling you, it's that and Disney World.
Mm.
Oh,
I've still
yeah.
never been to Disney World, and I would love it, except for all those fat Americans. I'd love it, except for them.
Disney World will make any adult turn into a kid in 2.2 seconds.
Yeah, but
it's the fantasy.
But I can't eat anymore, Sia. I ate so much in the last couple of days. And
really?
I went to gym yesterday and I hit it so hard that I walked out and I was feeling lightheaded. You know when you get home and you're like, you need to lie down?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was obviously compensating for
the past couple of days.
Well, I did a lot of walking the last few days, but I just needed to get to a place where I wasn't eating, because the problem is when you're not at home, you eat off a menu, right? And then, I don't know, bad things can happen to you. You get tempted into, I'm on holiday and I'll just have that. I'll get this back in check next week. Got on the scale. Look, the good news is I got on the scale. I always feel heavier than I am, which is good. And I got on the scale. It was only a kilogram more than it usually would be. So I don't feel like I've gone hopelessly out of control here, but I'll get it
back.
What
did you indulge in?
No, I had... I can't even remember. You know, the English are not famous for their cuisine. So you don't go to England to eat.
Yeah.
No. If you think that that's... I mean, obviously, there are all these famous English chefs, but that's because anyone who can cook better than mushy peas and potato chips
and bangers
and
mash
is considered a chef.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you can... Jamie Oliver is some kind of hero because he can make English food palatable. That doesn't mean he's a good cook.
You just crapped on so many careers.
I know. I'm not impressed by cooking, but you know, the English, they do a reasonable job, but no one goes, wow, you know, let's do a food trip to England. Not that I would know what that would be because I'm not a foodie, but I know people who go to Spain and Italy.
Italy has lots of kind of like food tours where you go on a tour and you learn to cook. You go in various places, you learn to cook. And in fact, a friend of mine brought a concept like that back to the Karoo and has a restaurant in the Karoo where you can come and learn to cook and stay.
Yeah.
All of this like Karoo-based stuff. Because he went on one of those.
Karoo lamb and
I know.
No, so look, I mean, we don't do badly.
Why are we talking about food so early in the morning, guys?
I know, sorry. I hate this because it's going to make everyone hungry.
No, and it's the one thing I haven't been able to keep down since yesterday. So any mention of food right now, I'm like, ugh. I have, don't know why, the only thing I'm able to take in these days, the past day, is instant soup.
Yuck. And it's
exactly my thoughts exactly. Yuck. There was nothing else in my cupboard. I'm like, well,
why is that
what
even
can
in
I
your
try?
Cupboard?
Because I'm 24 years old and can't cook.
Yeah.
That's,
and he
that's
can boil
exactly
a kettle
why.
And he can stir it in a cup.
Exactly
that's like
why.
Minimum. He wants to put in the minimum amount of work for maximum nutrition, but zero taste and experience. I mean, a kitchen is, I feel seer. Like a kitchen does nothing for me. Nope. I don't want to be in there. The thing that I was going to get to, the English, they do a good tea, like a good afternoon tea, you know, where you got the sandwiches and that
scones.
Kind of thing. And because I was with my parents and they're old people, they love tea. So there would be scones and it'd be sandwiches and that kind of thing. It's not the healthiest thing you can do.
Yeah.
And it's never really a meal on its own. It should be, honestly, because there's enough that they, when they, you order tea there, you know, they bring you the whole, like, three levels of stuff.
Oh.
So you don't need to overdo that. But it's just too much of the stuff. I now need to get back into a disciplined regime, cut out the carbohydrates, you know, do some of that stuff that kind of cleans you out. You know what I mean? So I'll get that into gear this week.
But it was amazing, though.
Yeah, I had a great time. You weren't here yesterday, so I very briefly told Ben and Gord. It was cool. I mean, for my folks, it was a kind of a trip they were going to do anyway. And I think they were pleased that my brother came for a day or two and I was there for a little bit because we got to just do a thing that most people don't get to do. You know, you get to go away with your parents that many times when you are all
adults. Yeah.
So it was fun. I think they really appreciated it. I loved being with them, showed them around all the places in England that I find interesting. They loved it. It was good. It was really good. One of their bucket list items was Wimbledon, which they absolutely loved. And I think that was pretty special.
Mm.
What's on your bucket list, by the way? If you had to just put, and we're not going to go the exhaustive one, but let's do like the three things, the top three things on your bucket list. Like maybe you want to attend the Oscars, or you want to go to the Mediterranean on a yacht, or you want to just spend a week in the wilderness kind of fending for yourself. Different people have different bucket list items. What would yours be?
Definitely not spending some time in the wilderness.
No, I can't see that working. I don't see that happening
nope,
for you.
Nope,
no.
Nope, and nope. I've always wanted to go to the south of France, but then rent a private yacht.
Oh, well, just a small small thing for Sia then.
And you see...
Just a couple of million euros.
All of my bucket list items.
He does not
items.
Have normal no. goals, you know? Nope. You need to either get really rich or marry really rich.
I need
rich.
Tons of money for... For me, it's about the experience.
Yeah.
See, because I never want to go to Monaco for 2 seconds. I want to go there and gamble and dress up every single day.
All right.
No, so...
Casino Royale.
Yeah, all in that fantasy.
He wants it to be like a movie. And you, Pums?
I'd like to go on a yacht to see, not on a yacht, on a cruise to see the Northern Lights.
Oh, that must be beautiful.
I would have been like that whole Northern
so special.
Experience cruise in the Arctic.
Yeah, up in Norway or whatever, yeah.
All of that and see the Northern Lights. Because like cruises are amazing. I mean, we've been on a cruise and it's such an amazing experience. That you're on a boat in the middle of the sea and still you have all the comforts of being
oh yeah like it's a,
hotel.
A floating mm-hmm. hotel mm-hmm.
It's not as
who would you take on that thing because you need to it would need to be pretty special you need to make sure it was a group of people or one or two people who you really wanted to experience something special with because apparently those Northern Lights it's magical you could just lie there and watch them the whole time.
I travel a lot alone.
I enjoy my company. I've seen you when I've been to Berlin with you and you make friends easily. You talk to people. You get along with everybody.
Other than Kanego, I can't imagine anybody else and it would simply be because I would want him to have that experience.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not because I need to share it with him in any way.
No, but you'd like to see him experience it, like the snow you were talking about earlier. Hey, Gugu, bucket list?
What up?
Yeah, bucket list, dude. What would it be?
Bucket list. Probably going to space or something. I don't know.
Space. Oh. That's just a small goal then. nothing that, it would take your life to prepare you for.
Gugu and I on the same tip.
Would you like to go to Mars?
I just need money. Probably, yeah, Mars would be a good idea. Is it hot up there, though?
Would you ever do that? Because I was watching it. Well, you can't walk around with your T-shirt on. But I was watching this documentary the other day about these people who want to go to Mars. And I think that's insane.
Why?
Well, first of all, it's going to take you a couple of months to get there, I think it is. It's a couple of months, 8 months, a year or whatever. Would you do that?
Yeah, I'd do
that. Be on a spaceship all on your own for 8 months?
Plenty of time.
Dude, I think it's crazy. And then when you get there, you can't... It's not like you could just go everywhere and explore. You're going to be restricted to a certain area. You've got like a few days, I suppose, maybe even a few hours. And then you have to get back on and come all the way back.
But how many people can actually say they've been to space or Mars?
Fair enough. And I mean, you might get one or two incomparably good selfies while you're up there. Sure.
Oh, wow. Would you travel all that way just for a selfie?
I would absolutely not.
Selfie.
Yeah.
No. The getting there is never the fun part of a journey for me. I don't like that. If I can avoid the travel, I'm happy.
Mm.
And just getting ready to go out into space. While you were away, Gareth, and I don't know if you saw any of this. Do you remember there was that guy, Mandla Maseko, who won that competition?
Yes.
And on Saturday night, he passed away in a motorcycle crash.
Oh, my God.
And he was, remember there was that huge competition and there was like millions of people and he won.
Mm.
And he was getting ready to, and just getting ready to go out into space. That in itself is a thing.
You know, I don't know what Pum is trying to say about bikers and space. And
whoa, dude.
It's not a good sign.
Bikers.
He's a biker.
I know, I see his bike out there.
Hence the offense taken.
No, I'm just thinking, just the getting ready for the journey as well, out into space. See?
Well, he just went
Sia to... Sia and his yacht on the south of France. He just needs a rich husband.
Gugu was telling me yesterday he went to the Galagadi Pans in Botswana.
Yes.
To Maun, which is... I've never been there, I believe.
Did you ride
beautiful.
Your bike there?
I drove there. Oh. It's insane.
You could drive, it's flat, right?
Yeah, it's flat for over 200 Ks. It's just nothingness, just salt pan.
Mm.
And there's no one there.
It's amazing. And the animals just roam free as well?
Yeah, that's the one thing about Botswana that's quite unique, that the animals are not fenced or boarded. So you're driving on the highway and there's zebra crossing the road, there's giraffe on the side of the road. It's literally like Africa, you know?
Better than Mars, I'll tell you what.
Wow.
Rather do that. There's nothing living on Mars. If there is, it's a microbe. You're not going to get any thrill out of that. That's the truth. Okay, well, today we've got a busy day for you. We've got the Burning Platform coming up. We are going to be talking about Savings Month. You know, yesterday with Coronation, we started what is going to be a series for this month of, I think, quite useful tips and some interesting information that will encourage you to save more in a true sense. And I'm absolutely on this page at the moment. By putting money aside every month instead of spending it. Are we saving? Or are you simply spending and disguising it as saving? And yesterday we spoke to Christo Linnefelt, who is from Coronation, and we'll talk a little bit more about that today. And we've got Canton popping by for the Burning Platform a little later on. And we've also got Mandela Day coming up, which means we're going to chat to my friends at Headway. You know, we always do. They do this amazing thing every year where they get together and they take stuff around to the emergency services people. Which I think, you know, these guys should probably get a lot more attention than just once a year on Mandela Day.
Mm.
These are the guys who pitch up when there's an accident. They're there when you dial, 10111, and you need someone to come and rescue someone, or, you know, somebody's been hurt, there's some kind of dangerous situation. These emergency services people are amazing, and they're going to deal with these first responders by going along, thanking them, taking them some cakes and some,
that's so awesome,
some drinks. And yeah, I think it's very cool. So that we'll tell you about as well. And then I got an email that we must get to.
Okay.
This is from Jen. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, boy.
All right. Well, I'm so pleased you said that. I thought if you'd said no, what would I say? All right. Jen says, as always, I love listening to you guys. I'm very interested in listening to Humans for Sale, but I'm nervous that I will become paranoid. Oh, man. I so agree with that. You know, I was a happy guy in Johannesburg until I read Mandy Wiener's Killing Kebble.
Mm.
And I realized what a filthy, dirty, horrible underworld we've got in this city.
Yay!
And then suddenly I didn't want to go out anymore.
Yay! And right? It's all the places you know. That Killing Kebble was quite...
freaked me out. I was so miserable. But I can assure you, with Humans for Sale, it's not like that. We're not trying to make everybody paranoid that there's someone trying to grab you and snatch you and put you in a car and take you away. It does happen, but it's
although
rare.
Although they are there.
Mm.
Yeah, and if you don't know about it, you're walking around with blinkers on, because
your head in the sand.
Right, you know, it's like a lot of people will be oblivious to crime until it strikes them, and they'll go, oh, "I didn't know this happened." So rather be informed. And in this case, it's also really, really interesting because a lot of these people are survivors who've made it back from being trafficked, and they've got stories that will put the hair on the back of your neck up. It's so scary. So take a listen. She says also on the topic of series to watch, Chernobyl blew my mind. Yeah, Pumi and I were speaking about that last week or the week before. I found a podcast where one of the producers of the show tells you more about what happened and what they had to leave out of each episode.
Oh.
Listen to that too. See, podcasting is, I mean, you know this, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to us, but it's the best. Sia, I think you would love a series called Euphoria. The Act, which is about Gypsy Rose Blanchard, that's the woman who killed her mother, and I Love You Now Die, which is about a teenage boy who committed suicide because his girlfriend told him to.
Ooh. If that's based on a true story, that will make the plot super, super thick.
Well, you do like Henry von Bredow, so maybe this is for you. Last weekend, Jen says she binged on Stranger Things. I tried with that show.
Did it not appeal to you?
I don't know. It was a pretty slow start. And plus, I want to know, in these monster things, I want to know more about the monster earlier on. Mm. I like to know what I'm dealing with.
That's why you didn't enjoy Bird Box.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
You couldn't see the thing. You were like, what is it? You didn't enjoy that.
Yeah, I want to, and it must be really frightening looking, you know? And in Stranger Things, I never got to see the monster, so I just gave up.
Hmm.
But maybe so you gave up, because this is season three, so you gave up in season one.
Season one, I was such a loser, I tapped out. Oy. Should I get back into it?
Do it.
Okay.
But this is what I love about the environment we're in, right? So you don't have to get into the series when it's on and when everybody is all about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can wait a couple of years and it'll still be there. Unlike before, it was like if you didn't watch the series, it was gone.
Yeah.
And now you
absolutely
have no way to find it or how to, because like Nip Tuck, do you guys remember Nip Tuck?
Oh, wow. I remember that.
I remember being chased out of the lounge when it came on. That's my memory.
You're a kid.
I am so desperate to find all the seasons of Nip Tuck to get into it again. Because I never, like, I get tired of series that takes a long time. But now you can, you know, you can just binge on a weekend and watch the entire block of it.
Hey, and by the way, happy belated birthday.
Yeah. Wow, absolutely.
Happy.
So it's the big one, huh, Pumalele?
Absolutely.
When I said to Pum's, happy birthday, she went, yeah, I'm at the apex of the hill. Which means she isn't on the young side of the hill, but she isn't over the hill.
Yeah.
She's right
at the top of the hill, surveying the lands.
That's a good place to be.
You still have majority of your life. Generalizing.
I think this is about halfway.
Oy, okay, never mind. It's not a good thought to have. Never mind. Happy birthday.
It's a great thought. It's a great thought. I thought about this the other day. Because it's, you know, kind of, there's enough behind you that you've got good experience. And you've learned some things.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also enough time ahead of you to kind of, from all the stuff that you've learned, to not fuck up the rest of it.
It's a good point.
And there's enough.
Good point.
Good point.
And there's enough confidence in you to kind of like, do the things you want
to
do.
You're about to dye your hair now, get married to someone you've met once at dinner.
No. Pumi's been down that road. She's
dyed my hair.
I've got to point out on this note, Oki, who's a fan of ours from day one, he sent me the most interesting article, which I made my way through last night. It's called The Most Important Question of Your Life.
Wow.
Yeah, I
mean, of your life.
Yeah, that's a big ask, but
question.
I better dedicate some time to this, but I'll give you the brief synopsis because we've got to get to news. Pleasure is an easy question, it says. The more interesting question is pain. What is the pain that you want to sustain? Basically, you know Mark Manson, the guy who did that Why Everything is Fucked book?
Subtle Arts of Not Giving a Fuck.
That's him, yeah. So he says, everybody wants what feels good. Everybody wants to live a carefree, happy, and easy life. Fall in love, have amazing sex, great relationships, look perfect, make money, be popular, be well-respected, admired, a total baller to the point that people become, you know, like the parting Red Sea when you walk into the room. Everyone would like that. It's easy to like that. But if I ask you, what do you want out of life? And you say something like, I want to be happy and have a great family and a job I like. It's so ubiquitous that it doesn't even mean anything. He says a more important question, a question that perhaps you've never considered before, is what pain do you want in your life? What are you willing to struggle for? Because that seems to be a greater determinant of how your life turns out. And then he goes into kind of, you know, like if you dedicate an hour to the gym, it's because you want the result of how you're going to feel afterwards and how you're going to look afterwards and what it's going to do for your health afterwards. And he said that there's an amount of pain that you're willing to go through to get to that point. And it's true for everything. Relationships. You've got to have those hard conversations. You've got to have those boring, sometimes tedious discussions. Not necessarily painful, but they can be really draining and frustrating.
Hmm.
And he said if you're prepared to put in that time, you will have meaningful relationships and experiences, and you've got to decide how much pain you're willing to bear. Because a lot of people think that life should be pain-free. You know?
Oh, that's...
It's heavy. It was
that
heavy,
is a
it
big
was,
question.
It's a very heavy article, but I did love it. Like, I thought it was really interesting to get into his head, and maybe I should read the rest of his stuff now. I don't know. Maybe.
Or you can find a podcast.
Oh, yeah,
I know. I'm
to,
so not there.
Just to wrap it up with Jen, she says, last weekend I binged on Stranger Things. This weekend it'll be The Planets and Our Planet. Peace and love, thoughts and prayers to everybody. Much love. That's from Jen. Thank you, Jen. Okay, you want to do some news?
Let's get into that.
Okay, first things first. Over 1,000 fake marriages have been annulled since last year. Aaron Motsoaledi, who's now Home Affairs Minister, on Wednesday just mentioned during his budget vote in Parliament that there are a couple of people who have their identity back. They deal with 2,000 fraudulent marriages every year.
Jeez.
Isn't that amazing? So Eyewitness News published an expose which detailed how women were fighting for more than a decade to get out of fake marriages here in South Africa. And the Home Affairs Minister on Wednesday mentioned this issue during his vote speech. Over 1,000 of the 2,132 fake marriages since April of last year have been annulled. The minister invited one of these women to Parliament to share her story and to apologize to her. Tummy Swartboy's identity was stolen by another woman who'd gotten hold of her ID number. Noma Sanka Swartboy has officially got her identity back.
Imagine.
Yeah. So she has now got two kids which she never met before who were registered as hers in legal documents.
Oh.
She couldn't get officially married because the law would not allow anybody to marry twice unless they'd been divorced or someone had died. Her life went into tailspin, put in virtual hold. She lived in this horror for 14 years.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Fortunately, the minister said, we reached Tummy when the story was reported in the media. See, this is sometimes what needs to happen, and that's why the media is important. They go out, they find a story like this, and suddenly government are forced to do something. But the minister said she was working with the department and they were getting her identity back for her. We've asked her to come and be an ambassador for Home Affairs on identity fraud and fraudulent marriages. We want to work with her to identify other people who are living in the situation that she went through. He said the identity thief was on the run, but they were after him. So there's at least a little bit of a silver lining on what is otherwise an ugly, ugly story. Now, I'm sure you've seen the news headlines. This came up yesterday, but James Small, who was part of our Rugby World Cup team in 1995, had a heart attack at age 50.
Mm. 50, hey?
And then I can't help but laughing because ENCA, their story online, they go, former Springbok wing James Small has been identified and described as a person who was lager, not larger, L-A-G-E-R, like the beer, lager than life. Stupid ENCA. You need to have someone proofread your copy, guys.
Where are the copy check guys?
Please, Pumi, you tell me.
Where are the copy check guys?
So here it is.
On the ticket
tape. Imagine your obituary is that you were lager than life.
That might be telling of what you did in life.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know whether he was a drinker, but if he wasn't, that really is a cruel thing for them to do.
That'd actually be great on a tombstone.
Lager than life. Anyway, his former teammates remembered him as someone who lived life to the fullest. You know, when someone says that about you, then you really did get down and dirty.
maybe they did mean lager.
Maybe, huh? Anyway, he reportedly died of a heart attack on Wednesday. He's been described by Henny LaRue as a superb winger, creator, and inventor on the field, and that's what made him special. Chester Williams said he will always remember how he and Small watched each other's backs on the field. I found out about his passing on the 1995 Springbok WhatsApp group. You see, there's even a Springbok WhatsApp group for the 95
What player. Is that conversation, I wonder?
I mean, I wonder how often it lights up and what's on there. Do they share memes?
Do they watch, do they watch the current box and go, what a bunch of twats?
Probably, I would imagine.
Chester Williams is a name I haven't heard in a while.
No,
wow.
These names. When I heard James Small yesterday, I had to think
carefully. Who's James Small?
Well, no, I mean, I'm not a big rugby fan, so for me it was a little harder than it might have been for some other people. But I always got him and James Dalton confused. To me, they were the same guy, you know what I mean?
Don't know who that is. So.
Exactly, I didn't know which one was which. So when I heard that James Small had died, I was like, the bald guy from the World Cup? And they're like, no, not that one. The other guy who
had some hair.
Yeah, he's a wing. Anyway, I mean, what do I know? Gary Teichman, the Sharks CEO, was fortunate to have played with and known James. Commenting on him, James was a great team man, said Gary, and a friend. I will always cherish the memories we shared both on and off the field. You know, it's weird. 50 years old is young, and it's young to have a heart attack. And it's always sad when someone who, you know, kind of dies before their time. And 50 is not young, but it's not ancient.
Hmm.
And it is surprising that someone who was mostly fit through their lives would have succumbed to a heart attack.
50 is young.
It's too young for a heart attack.
50 is young. Yeah. People live to be... Did you not see the story with the 103-year-old woman and the 100-year-old who just got married?
Yes, I saw that.
Oh,
people are living... So people are living to be 100, which means that at 50...
It's halfway. You're at the apex of the hill.
Look at Sia is shook.
I just can't. AI still stand by 85 great innings.
And then there was this dude who was killed. His home was set alight by a mob in Ladysmith.
Because what did he do?
Well, he's a Bitcoin Ponzi scheme guy. He's been running this Ponzi scheme in Tsakane Township. And a series of events began on Tuesday night after this guy Mbata announced on a local radio station that the Bitcoin wallet's website was allegedly hacked and investors' monies had been paid into fraudulent accounts after it had decided to try his hand at online trading. You've got to be so careful. I've seen, like, I post something on Instagram and then there are a whole lot of these, I think there must be bot accounts.
I think they're bots send you.
That are like, oh, Bitcoin has changed my life, blah, 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 blah. And it's like a paragraph.
Yeah.
And I've
follow me.
Yeah, I've reported a bunch of them. And then I block the people who've sent those messages. But I'm sure it's happening to other people too.
Dude, Ponzi schemes.
Yeah, they're all over.
They are a thing. And when the first major one that kind of made national news.
How much did you lose with Bernie Madoff? Pumi lost a lot of money with Bernie Madoff. She had to close a New York account.
A trauma story here.
And, dude. But you know Elokshini, ne?
Mm.
You see, because they don't call it a Ponzi scheme, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It has all of these, like Kuma push or whatever, you know, they have all these names. Mm. But there is always some kind of Ponzi scheme. And remember that you're talking about a culture of group savings entrenched, right? So people are used to how stock fells work. People are used to kind of rotating money like that. So a Ponzi scheme is one of the... there are so many. Every other week, month, you speak to people, there's a new kind of thing happening. So people have now got... And for a long time, people didn't know that this stuff was illegal as well. You know, because like for a very long time, the black existence in this country was basically illegal. So a lot of stuff that people did was illegal.
Yeah, and they got away with it. But what I do like about the township is that if you do this stuff and you rip people off, I'm not saying it's right, but they sort you out there and then. You don't need to go to the court and have some judge look at this for months and months.
I'm not for mob justice.
Pitch up with a torch, they burn down your house.
There you go.
But it's not like that. But there is a level of kind of holding to account people, because it these things also work on relationships and established relationships. You've got the person that invites you into this thing is somebody you know and somebody you trust. That's why you fall into it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the level of kind of accountability that exists for it is also a thing. But I'm just saying the idea of Ponzi schemes.
Yeah, I'm so not for mob justice.
They went and they burnt this guy's house down. They just set him on fire. Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic Group is planning to go public. So if you want to invest in that, there's a chance for you to do what Google wants to do, go to space, but you don't have to actually put yourself in the capsule. You know what Virgin Galactic is, right?
Tell me more.
It's his space tourism venture. So
I was born last night, sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
I was born last night.
Most people don't like to admit that, but Google just did. So the deal was reported earlier in the Wall Street Journal, which said that the Social Capital Hedda Sophia Holdings Corporation will invest $800 million for a 49% stake in Virgin Galactic. They are planning to send people into space as tourists.
Hmm.
And they're racing against Blue Origin, which is Amazon.com's founder Jeff Bezos. It's his vehicle. He's trying to get into space as well. All these billionaires competing to get as far away from the rest of us as possible. That should tell you something.
And they also want to be the first and the biggest and the loudest.
Well, here's some really useful information. It seems finally our Home Affairs Department, and Aaron Motsoaledi is really getting going there, so he's proving he can make shit happen. South Africa's revised our visa requirements for certain countries. This doesn't help you if you've got a South African visa, but it helps tourism, which will boost the number of people coming into South Africa and therefore the amount of money that's spent here by tourists. They've looked at the visa situation, and Aaron Motsoaledi has announced that a new list of visa-free countries are going to be rolled out, which means that people can come and visit us without needing to apply for a South African visa, which I believe is really hard to get.
And it's become harder over the years.
I'm surprised to hear that.
No, because we complain about visas for other countries, but we don't make it easy for all of them.
But one of the things that's actually happened to the South African visa situation is that because
As you roll your eyes.
And it was because of fraud and fraudulent kind of IDs that a whole lot of countries imposed restrictions on the South African visa. Mm-hmm. Because they couldn't trust the documentation going in there. And it's part of, so when they made this announcement last night, part of what came out, and that's why not all of the countries have a reciprocity. So that's what you normally have. If you have a particular way of which you allow visitors into your country from a particular place, that country reciprocates.
Should do the same as you.
For you, right? And so all of these countries, we will allow their visitors, but we don't have the same rights going into their countries. We still need visas to go into those countries. So
well, these countries are Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, New Zealand, Saudi Arabia, Cuba, Ghana, and Sao Tome and Principe, which is a tiny island that about 10 people live on. But at least Sao Tome and Principe are in there, you know?
So
very
this
important.
This is the job for Durko. Right. Durko must go make this happen for us.
Exactly. That's what they're there for.
That's so, their KPIs, yeah.
Correct.
Durko's KPI.
You love KPIs.
Key performance indicators.
Just love.
Best thing ever.
People must perform, Baba. We must know that they're doing their jobs.
All right, let's get into Said by Sia for this morning. What do you got for us?
Well, this story will just make you go, aww. It's been going around since 2017, though, in US courtrooms. But it brought I was brought to the attention of this again. And I thought, yeah, let's discuss it. Have you ever heard of, you've heard of comfort animals, right?
These are animals that help anxious and depressed people to feel better in social situations and at work situations. They're allowed to take their little bunny or whatever it is into the office.
Comfort or sympathy, hey.
I think we can openly judge some people who take it a step further.
Well, don't you think Casper De Vries used to come in? He used to have his two dogs and they upset some of the people in the office because not everybody is okay with dogs.
True.
Especially, German Shepherds. And Casper would come in every week for his show with his dogs.
And his shirts.
And his loud shirts. Yeah.
But he loved having the dogs around in studio.
Yeah, I think they were comfort dogs.
You could say to a certain extent it was a comfort animal to him. But I speak about the one photo that's still in my head of a lady who took a peacock onto a flight.
Oh my God, really?
I say we can maybe judge people like that.
A peacock?
A whole peacock. Google it, you'll find it.
They're noisy. Have you ever heard a
What are you doing when a peacock is walking down the aisle in a plane and just fans out its feathers?
It's not on her lap or something, like a kitten.
Anyway, here's something a little more positive. You think about kids who have to testify in court, and kids in that instance are probably some of the most vulnerable victims and witnesses involved in court processes. Well, the US court system is now allowing certain kids to have comfort dogs to sit with them while they testify in court, and I think this is so, so cute. Specifically in Colorado, in the district attorney's office, they have a golden lab called Pella, and she is the cutest thing I've ever seen. She has been involved in more than 450 cases working in Colorado, taking on some of the toughest cases which involve children, where children have been hurt or sexually abused or have seen a horrible crime. This is when the Golden Lab Pella steps in. Pella's absolutely trained for all of this.
Yeah.
She knows how to sit with the kids before they walk into court. As they walk into court, Pella's also been trained to just go straight into the box and sit down so that she isn't taking attention away from the jury, for example. And, oh, wow. You know, they say that so far, more than 450 cases in, Pella really sees her impact when it comes to how the kids are able to open up and speak confidently and eloquently in court. And a lot of kids actually appreciate it.
Oh, wow.
And you think about it, if you're, you know, 9 years old, and your family's breaking down in front of you, you now have to testify about something negative, you would appreciate something like this. So I think it's so, so cute. There are more than 126 courthouses in the United States currently that allow these comfort dogs. And I think it's just so cute that they're allowing this. You know, it's a nice option to have if you'd like something like this. So all together now. That's your sip for this morning.
Alrighty, very nice. Coming up, the burning platform. We're also going to help you to save this morning. So yesterday, I don't know if you...
We need that help, please.
Damn right.
We need that.
That is true. July is National Savings Month, and Coronation is encouraging South Africans to save more in a true sense by putting money aside every month instead of just spending it. And, you know, you got to think about this very carefully, and you've got to be perfectly honest with yourself, which for some people is hard. Are you really saving, or are you just spending and disguising it as saving? I spoke to Christo Linnefeld from Coronation yesterday, and you might have heard that about all of this, and we're constantly bombarded with advertising messages that are telling us how we'll save if we buy something. So it's easy to spend money on things we don't really need out of impulse. So when we buy unnecessary stuff, the unseen truth is that you're not saving, you're actually just spending.
Mm-hmm.
So have you bought something recently that you bought on impulse because you saw the sign, buy now, or they put you into a situation of FOMO where you thought, if I don't buy now, I'm going to never get this chance again. I need. Sales that are for one day only, while stocks last, Black Friday, you know all that stuff.
Oh, all the time.
You fall for it?
Particularly with groceries, you know, because I think everything else in my life I have nice rational control over. But no matter what, I'll go into the grocery store and I have my list and I think, yeah, that's absolutely what I need. But then I'll go down one of the aisles and it says, no, buy three and you only pay for two. And I'm like, of course now I need to. It says it's a one day only deal. Now, thinking about it yesterday, because I knew we'd be discussing this, I went through my cupboard as well. I realized I have pasta for days because of these buy now specials.
Five.
It's like five penne pastas, spaghetti. I'm like, what am I stockpiling for? These impulse buys are just horrible.
I got to the garage the other day and I was filling up with petrol and the guy says, hey, do you want our special chocolate deal? I'm like, well, what's your chocolate deal? He goes, well, if you buy one of these, then you get two for free. And I was like, no, I think I'm okay.
I'm just here for the petrol.
You're just here for the petrol right now. But I can imagine, like, if someone's sitting there and they're busy filling up your car, you think, I could probably do with a chocolate. And if it's three of them for the price of one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need that. You do not need it.
But we just all need to pay a little bit more thought to realize that actually we're spending more.
Yeah.
You didn't intend to spend, even if it's this 150 rands more in this buy three, pay for two deal. So why are you spending that money?
Correct.
Although it does depend. I'm one of those people that goes through all of the specials things. So on the Sunday when all of the flyers come.
You read those?
At APSA, bloody lootly.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
And when I do my shopping list, it is based on who has... what the cheapest.
Look at you. You're like Isabel Jones.
I am totally that person that looks at all of the flyers and looks at all of the things that I want to buy and who has it. So there are things that I refuse to spend over a certain amount for. So, you know, like double ply 18 roll toilet paper.
Yeah.
I absolutely refuse to spend more than $79.99.
See, but at least you have put the thought into it. Have you never been caught in the moment though? You're walking, minding your own business.
Come on, for me, everybody has.
Google, I don't like shopping, guys. I don't like shopping.
Lucky
and because
you.
I don't like shopping, that doesn't happen to me. So when I go to the store, when I go to a Pick and Pay store or a Woolworth store, I know exactly what it is that I'm going to buy there. And
you have your list.
I will prove this to you. What I also do is I take photos of whatever's in the flyer. And I decide,
a screenshot
this is what, so I have, this is my monthly shopping. And so that when I am at the shop and I don't remember what was in the flyer because I don't have the flyer with me.
Right.
I'm then also able to do that. I'm able to look at all of the things that are on this shelf because they have all of, they call them toppers, right? Those wobblers that have the thing wobbling in your face that says
yes.
20, right? Yeah, it's called a wobbler because they have the wobblers. And some of those things actually distract you from what is actually cheaper.
And it
because
works.
Because the wobblers here, you kind of, your mind is tricked into thinking, this must be the special price. But if you look at the other prices, you might find that one of those things is actually cheaper. So I don't get distracted because I've got like a screenshot.
She's so organized. She actually has screenshots of like that skip washing powder and stuff.
Yeah, so, you know.
You know, I think if a lot of women were like you, Pumi, men would enjoy the shopping experience. It would actually come along if women were as organized as you.
Bloody, why aren't men that organized? They must be organized their own themselves. They must be organized by their own themselves.
You don't fall for these things?
Gareth, I hate shopping. I hate it. It's like a miserable experience. Grocery shopping, clothing shopping. I hate it.
You and Pumi. You're lucky. In some way, that's like a saving grace.
Do you not, excuse the pun, do you not get caught up in these moments?
Of course I do. I feel like an idiot. They say to you, if you just spend a little more, you get so much more value.
And yes.
I don't need 3 packets of chips. And I do it. I fall for it. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, throw that in.
Yeah. Idiot. And you actually write with the stopping for petrol example as well, because you think, oh, it's nice and convenient.
Yeah. Let me walk into the...
Why do I have an energy drink, a water, and a random chocolate? What am I going to do with all of that?
Well, you got to watch out for spending that is disguised as saving. Discounted items does not actually represent any kind of saving. The real saving is not buying anything at all. Speak to Coronation, a registered financial services provider. They manage the long-term savings of millions of South Africans. And if you have a pension fund, retirement annuity, or unit trust, they may already be looking after yours. There's a huge amount of financial expertise and knowledge contained within the walls of Coronation, which is why they're able to see the unseen and help you to save more in the true sense by encouraging you to put money aside every month instead of spending it. When we come back, burning platform and a whole lot more.
With the electronic nappy changer and built-in sleep monitor, the new Zaza 3.0 baby stroller is here.
Excessive features added to justify the equally excessive price tag.
Zaza strollers are built in Sweden using only aerospace-grade materials because only the best will do.
When a regular stroller will do exactly the same job.
It's easy to get tempted into unnecessary spending. That's why Coronation is encouraging South Africans to save instead this National Savings Month. To invest, talk to your financial advisor. Coronation. Trust is earned. Coronation is an authorized FSP.
Alrighty, it's also time for us to start thinking about Mandela Day, which for some people is an excuse to do something good, even if they're doing good things all through the rest of the year. For other people, it's the reminder that you should actually set aside a little bit of time to make the world a better place for other people. And this morning, we're going to spend just a few minutes talking to a friend of mine, Nicole Holzhausen, who's, of course, with Headway. When I say she's with Headway, she was a patient at Headway for a long time. We've spoken to her a couple on a few occasions here on the show. And Nicolene has always been interesting to talk to because of her own experience, but because she has stayed involved with Headway from the time that she left there as a patient. She subsequently had happy relationships and had jobs and all kinds of other things. So she is proof that you can have a life after a traumatic head injury. And today she wants to talk to us just a little bit about the way that they're going to be celebrating Mandela Day this year, and how you can maybe contribute if you want to feel part of this without even having to leave home. So Mandela Day is coming. Hey, Nicolene, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Gareth?
Good. Nice to talk to you again. What's going on in your life? Let's get a little update on you. What's happening?
Well, I'm still brain injured.
Yeah, well, that doesn't go away. Me too.
I'm persevering, living my life. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
I've been working on Mandela Day, which is quite an achievement for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives me purpose. Still au pairing. I've been au pairing for 4 years now.
Yes.
And still waiting for my big break.
You haven't lost any children, though. I mean, like, they haven't disappeared under your care or gone missing or, you know, like fallen off a balcony or anything. You've been pretty good at that, right? Oh, and that's when her Skype line dies. See, I try and get her back on there. What a moment. What a moment for her to go AWOL. So let me tell you what they're doing. They're going to go and take care of the first responders. They'll go to the Sandton Fire Station, spend a bit of time making a difference for those people, who, of course, are the people who pitch up whenever you expect, you know, something horrible happens and you expect someone to come and rescue you. These guys are the first ones to come and rescue you. They also take care of a lot of much less pleasant things, so it's very nice. A Headway, who are an organization that deal with people who have brain injuries, they're always the first people on the scene in a situation like that. They're going to give something back by going and spending a bit of time with them, bringing them cakes and sweets and making an effort, bringing them some drinks, and then the first responders get to be not just the celebrated heroes for that day, but also get to see that the community at large care about them in return. You like that, Pums? Is
those first responders are amazing. Yeah.
Job.
And they're there, they're alert, and they just so professional, so professional. It's amazing to watch as well, because it's not like on TV, but it is just as spectacular when they arrive and they do it. And then, you know, there's always people rubbernecking, people watching, people trying to be helpful. But those guys, absolutely.
Okay, we can't seem to be able to get hold of Nicolene. Well, let me help you out here, because they're going to go to the Sandton Fire Station on Mandela Day. If you can help, fundraising@headwaygauteng.co.za. You can send them an email, and even if you can just contribute, you know, 10 rand, 50 rand, 100 rand, maybe a little bit more, then you can maybe help them. And they will be helping other people and doing something for all of us who are desperately in need of the assistance that only these first responders can give us in a situation that's pretty uncomfortable and pretty awful, and for some people is deadly. fundraising@headwaygauteng.co.za. That's where you can get hold of them. On the other side of this, we're going to get into the burning platform. Canton's here. He looks like he's ready, spoiling for the burning platform today.
I might well be.
You might well be. Well, we've got lots to get into.
Chomping at the bit.
All right, what's your burning platform for this morning?
Well, I actually have something for Pumi. It was her birthday this week.
What's that?
Well, it's my homemade chai masala.
Woohoo!
Fantastic.
Thank you. Because Canton's also like a
keeping it
tweeting
spicy.
Foodie.
What can I say?
Canton's also a tweeting foodie.
I've seen that.
Also tweeting. I've been tweeting
like
5 years before
Tito
Mboweni.
Yeah, but I guess people may not know this. We've established, Canton, that you are the influencer of the influencers.
Yeah, so. They start off, they learn all their stuff from him. But I'm just warning you ahead of time, my birthday is coming up. So I'm
also
going
expecting
to
chai masala.
You're damn right I will.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's not too much to ask, right?
No, it isn't.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, cool. Because I'm definitely up for it. I'm no good at cooking, but I'll find someone who can apply the right, you know.
You can make tea from this as well.
You can?
Right?
Well, basically, you pop in a tea bag and add a tiny bit of that stuff, and hey, presto, you've got fabulous chai.
Excellent. All right. Coming up, the Burning Platform, which is brought to you every week by Nando's. This is your chance to catch up on all the current affairs that affect you. And who knows? You might just learn something. we try to make it really, you know, useful for you rather than just... Yeah, kind of entertaining and interesting, but it could be useful. You find yourself talking about this when you get to the coffee machine at work this morning, and everybody goes, wow, how did you know so much? And you're just borrowing from Pumi and from Canton. And maybe we can get into some serious discussions around the things that really affect South Africa. Okay, all of that's coming up next. The Burning Platform.
This is CliffCentral.com.